The Drunk Whore History Podcast, Episode 46. The Drunk Whore History Podcast, a deeper look into drunk whore history. This week's episode, The Casper Troopers. Welcome back to the Drunk Whore History Podcast. My name is Ron Allard from Dice Man Radio. The following comes in part from an article written by Pat Shanyan for A History of Drum and Bugle Corps, Volume 2, published by Steve Vickers of Drum Corps World. In the November 24, 1957 Casper Morning Star, the call for 10 little Indian girls went out. On this day, Jim Jones invited applicants to try out for the newly organized Casper Junior Drum and Bugle Corps. As part of the already formed musical groups, an all-girl color guard dressed in Indian costumes was envisioned. Imagine troopers of the 11th Ohio Cavalry combined with quote-unquote Indian girls bearing the colors of our nation. It was new, it was fresh, and it was the beginning of a drum corps legend. James Edward Jones was practically born into drum corps. Born in Casper, Wyoming in 1921, his parents were involved in the local American Legion post. In 1934, Jones's mother and a group of her friends formed a corps in Casper within the ranks of the local post. This group failed within a few months, and the drums and bugles were stashed away in a dark closet. They would sit idle for 21 years. After accompanying his parents to the 1933 American Legion Nationals in Chicago, Illinois, Jones took to the snare drum. He participated in the 1935 and 1936 American Legion Nationals, and in 1939 he placed second in the national snare drumming individuals. He entered the University of Nebraska playing in the Cornhusker Band at the 1941 Rose Bowl. Like most young men of that era, Jones was called to serve our country. He joined the Air Corps and flew missions between India and China. He finally returned to Casper in 1946 when he married a school-day sweetheart, Grace Leaders, and they began a family. The intervening years brought success to Jones. He established a flourishing contracting business in Casper. In the mid-1950s, he activated the Senior Corps at the local American Legion post, and in the summer of 1957, he formed a legal corporation, the Casper Drum and Bugle Corps, Incorporated. With this corporation, he was able to borrow the $4,000 necessary and begin corps operations. Auditions were held, and a 54-member group was formed. Those drums that had sat idle for 21 years suddenly came to life. Quote, I started the corps because I was in a junior corps myself here in Casper, and we all enjoyed it a great deal. I felt the youth of today would enjoy it just as much as I did, unquote, said Jones in a 1983 interview. In 1958, the first summer out as a corps, the troopers could barely march and step together. The job of starting the corps was so great that's all we were able to do. Just march in parades and stay in step and play two or three numbers, Jones quipped. The troopers appeared in public for the first time at Riverton, Wyoming, for the State American Legion Convention. There they began their long tradition of Western theme shows by playing Ghost Riders in the Sky and Wagon Wheels. Wayne Carter, a charter member of the troopers, recalls his introduction. Quote, Jim Jones came to Dean Morgan Junior High and Natrona County High School in the fall of 1957. These were the only 7th through 12th grade schools in Casper at the time. The purpose of his visit was to recruit members for the Troopers Drum and Bugle Corps from the band members of these institutions. The sponsor of the Troopers was the American Legion. The Corps met on the second floor of the American Legion building once a week to practice. It was located where the Village Inn in downtown Casper is today. Harry Yesness furnished the trousers, Air Scout pants, with yellow stripes, and we wore Boy Scout shirts supplied by J.C. Penney. Sweet Olson was the brass instructor and Jim Jones was the drum instructor, unquote. The Corps' first national exposure came at the 1961 American Legion National Championships in Denver, Colorado, where the Corps finished 4th. However, before the Corps could get to Denver, they had to drum up support from the local community. Quote, we played an outdoor Christmas concert at the city park on South McKinley. It was very cold, but in those days, Jim Jones needed all the exposure he could get. Quite a few people showed up to listen, but they all had to stay in their cars with the heaters running to stay warm. It was so cold that the valves on the horns would freeze solid, so there was a steady stream of troopers going to and from the cars, where people would hold the horns under the heaters to thaw out the valves. I think only about half or so of our corps was playing at any one time, recalls trooper member Stan Brown. The following year was a turning point for the organization. Late in 1961, the first Troopers Cadet Corps was formed. There was such an interest in troopers' membership, there seemed to be no alternative. Jones held steadfast to his number one rule, if a kid wanted to be in it, he could. The cadet's uniform consisted of a light tan jacket with Troopers Drum and Bugle Corps emblazoned on the back and matching trousers. No western hat, no scarf, and no stripes on the trousers, not like the A Corps uniform that by this time was embellished with a black western hat, bright yellow neck scarf, matching stripes on the leg of the trousers, and a leather garrison belt with the famous U.S. belt buckle. In later years, the trooper cadet's uniform would change dramatically. By 1969, the cadets wore a traditional cadet-style uniform, complete with shako and bright yellow plume. The role of the cadet corps was simple, train the members in music and marching so spots in the A Corps would never be left open, and it worked. However, the success of the cadet corps did not lie solely on this mission. The trooper cadets achieved their own success, not only as ambassadors of the city of Casper in countless parades, but they also won the Nebraska State Championship in 1970. The last time the trooper cadets took to the field or parade route was 1995. By 1962, the corps was establishing itself as a national powerhouse corps. Jones had defined a new era in drum corps by the way the troopers traveled. They had first set out to the west, where they competed in the Portland, Oregon Rose Festival Parade, visited the Seattle World's Fair, and then traveled to the Midwest for the VFW contest in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The corps was bumped from the final show this time around, but it proved to be a valuable learning experience. Between 1963 and 1970, the troopers were never out of a VFW finals again. By 1970, the corps had become a powerhouse. The troopers were the first corps with a mixed line, both boys and girls on drums and bugles, to win the national championship. They had defined how a drum corps should travel, and they brought stunning drills, including the wagon wheel and infamous sunburst maneuvers, to the field. Drum corps legends such as Fred Sanford, Pete Emmons, Gene Monterostelli, Jack Meehan, Don Angelica, and Dave Shaw came either from the ranks of the corps' membership, instructional staff, or management. Dave Shaw once wrote of the corps he witnessed at the U.S. Open in Marion, Ohio. Quote, the first time I saw the troopers was in Marion, Ohio in 1964. The troopers came marching down the street in the U.S. Open parade and street clothes, the girls wearing empty beer cans in their hair as makeshift curlers. That night at the U.S. Open contest, I learned you should never judge anyone by the beer cans in their hair. As I watched the troopers perform, my jaw hit my chest. It might sound trite, but I was stunned. They were the greatest marching corps I had ever seen, and I had been around. The horns and drums were in need of some attention, but their marching was so good and so mesmerizing, who noticed? More important, I will never forget the impact the troopers from 64 to 67 had on an audience. They were new, fresh, and different, and they had a magic that affected everyone. Unquote. Following the success of the Troopers' 1965 season, which was capped off with their first national title at the World Open, the Corps set out to the Midwest with one goal in mind, to defeat the Chicago Cavaliers. It was a different kind of Trooper Corps that year. For anyone with title aspirations in 1966, the Cavaliers were the Corps to beat, but they were and still are the toughest kind of adversary. Smooth, confident, and completely professional, the Cavaliers fought hard and fought well. In the previous 2 years, with the exception of the Cavaliers, the Troopers had beaten every major junior corps in the country. On July 2nd, the two corps met first in Dubuque, Iowa, with these results: Cavaliers 72.63, Troopers 72.53. At Streeter, Illinois, on July 3rd, they met the Des Plaines Vanguard, Norwood Park Imperials, and the Chicago Royal Airs, all extremely tough competitors. The Vanguard was number two in the Midwest all season and constantly pressing the Cavaliers. Norwood Park was breathing down Vanguard's necks, and the Royal Airs were defending national champions of everything. It was a tough battle, but the Troopers prevailed. Troopers 77.93, Des Plaines Vanguard 75.18, Norwood Park Imperials 74.88, and Chicago Royal Airs 69.08. There was one last show in the Midwest, and this was the one they really wanted. Rockford, Illinois, July 4th, 1966. This was to be it. Should the Cavaliers win, they could in all probability anticipate carrying an unblemished record into national competitions. The Troopers, on the other hand, needed this if their title bid was to be a serious one. The answer, Troopers 71.117, Cavaliers 69.433. They had indeed done it. Later, at the VFW Nationals in Jersey City, New Jersey, the Troopers and the Cavaliers went 1-2 at both prelims and finals. It was a dream season for the Troopers. This was an exciting time for the Corps. Championships and titles came at regular intervals. The state of Wyoming declared the Corps Wyoming's musical ambassadors, and the Corps had a hard time keeping its appearance and schedule straight. During the 60s and 70s, the Corps kept a regular Corps competition calendar, color guard competition calendar, and made appearances before national and international dignitaries and others. The troopers appeared before NATO heads of state, presidential candidates on the campaign trails, movie sets with movie stars including Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne, and even the National Football League's television broadcasts of the Denver Broncos, Minnesota Vikings, and Kansas City Chiefs. The troopers released their movie, The Troopers Are Coming, and their first record in late 1968. The film was a personal glimpse inside one of the country's most famous drum and bugle corps, including interviews with the members and behind-the-scenes glimpses of the corps in practice. Narrated by movie and television star Walter Brennan, the movie is still a popular topic in trooper lore and legend.
The world has looked upon the American West as a land of opportunity, a land of courageous people striving for a new kind of freedom. The troopers, in name and appearance, reflect our Western heritage. They bring to mind the people who lived in the covered wagons, who built the sod huts, plowed the ground, raised the cattle, and made peace with the Indians. The troopers, in name and appearance, are what America was. The young men and women under the trooper banner are what America is.
Another event took place in the late 1960s that shaped the Corps. Trooper alumni Linda Schultz recalls the time when the Corps' song was created. Quote, "It was on Yellow Bus, traveling along at night somewhere in the Midwest en route to the next contest destination. Fred Sanford and Dave Shaw were sitting together, their overhead light on, writing the song and the lyrics. Fred was sometimes loud as he was obviously very excited at their personal revelations, hands and arms flailing. I was one seat back of them across the aisle. I was thoroughly enjoying myself, witnessing something great and knowing I was in the midst of sheer genius. The Corps learned the infamous words easily, and we sang it on the way to competitions as loud as we could. It boosted us up, and esprit de corps was never higher during this most important time," unquote. That song, sung to the tune of How the West Was Won, has been sung by thousands of troopers who have passed through the ranks ever since. It is a treasured part of each member's experience and brings each new generation of troopers together with the Corps' proud past and bright future. The troopers won the CYO Nationals 3 years in a row between 1968 and 1970. 1970 was probably their most successful season when they won their second VFW National Championship in Miami Beach, added their third CYO title in Boston, earned their third World Open crown in Lynn, Massachusetts, and appeared on national TV during the halftime of the Minnesota Vikings game. We'll be right back. The 1970s were a turning point for the troopers and all of Drum Corps. To this day, some say that Drum Corps died in 1971. Others would argue that it was born in 1971. The troopers were a member of the 1st Midwest Combine and later a charter member of Drum Corps International. At the first DCI Championships in Whitewater, Wisconsin, the troopers placed a disappointing 6th in finals competition. The following season, the troopers came as close as they ever would to a DCI crown, placing 2nd behind the Santa Clara Vanguard. The Corps did finish the 1973 campaign undefeated in the marching and maneuvering caption, which bolstered the Corps' already well-known tradition of superior marching abilities. DCI's first 4 years, the troopers were annual finalists. Then, through the mid-1980s, the troopers were constantly in and out of DCI's top 12. Jim Jones retired as the Troopers director in 1987. He was succeeded by a string of directors who were all alumni of the Corps. This, however, did not translate into competitive success. From 1987 through 2005, the Corps finished in 14th place twice, but otherwise were ranked in 19th to 25th. Then, in 2005, the DCI Board of Directors suspended the Troopers from competition for non-compliance with membership rules. The Corps was inactive for the 2006 season while they reorganized. The Troopers Board named Wyoming businessman and Troopers alumnus Mike Ottos as interim director. One of Ottos' first actions was to announce the organization's commitment to compliance with DCI's rules and the intent to return to the field in 2007. In April of 2006, DCI gave preliminary approval for the Troopers' return to Division I competition in 2007, and the Corps soon after named Fred Morris, who has an extensive background in Drum Corps management, as Corps Director, with Ottos becoming Executive Director of the organization. On October 3, 2006, the Troopers were reinstated as a DCI Division I Corps. The Troopers returned to competition on June 19, 2007 in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. At Clovis, California on August 5th, the Corps earned a score above 80 points for the first time since 1995. At the DCI Championships held in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, the Troopers placed 20th. In 2008, they would improve to 16th place, and in 2009, the Troopers' 12th place finish would earn a spot in DCI's top 12 finalists for the first time since 1986. That concludes this week's episode on the Casper Troopers. Please join us again next time as we take a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This podcast is produced and sponsored by DiceManRadio.com.